Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of the Make Comics podcast from Comics Experience. He's Andy Schmidt, I'm Joey Groh. If you're listening to this at the end of 2016, hey, it's the end of 2016. What are you listening to this for? You got precious few days left to make comics. Or you're making comics while listening to this, or on your commute. You know what? Just go back and download the entire archive for 2017 if you haven't listened to it. There's, what are we up to, 127 episodes? You got a lot of Make Comics you can listen to for your New Year's resolution. That's what I'm trying to say. That's how we're resolving this year.
That's how we roll. That's how we resolve. And
if this is your first episode of Make Comics, this is a show where we talked about different aspects of the nuts and bolts of making comics, and the topics are suggested by listeners. You can email info@comicsexperience.com, or you can tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, and we will talk about it here on the show. Andy, you actually have a topic that sprung up from the Comics Experience Workshop message boards.
Yeah, I was asked recently... There's a thread of, you know, there are several professionals on there, and we all have, you know, the Ask Andy Schmidt thread, Ask Colin Bunn, Ask Fred Van Lente, Ask Riley Brown, whoever. We all have our separate threads where you can ask us specific questions if you're on the boards, and this question came up and I answered it a while ago, but it just sort of stuck with me, which is reconciling as a creator what you're passionate about versus what is commercial. And so this question came up where this artist was saying that most of his work on his graphic novels is stuff that he's really passionate about. It has sort of a social conscience, conscious sort of, you know, bent to it. And you know, he was talking with some other artists, and they said, you know, you need to do, you know, like, your art's really good, but you need to do more commercial work that has this wider appeal. And so, you know, he just sort of brought it up, and we got into this conversation about passionate versus commercial. And it, and the more I thought about it, and the more we talked about it, the more I realized that what's interesting to me is that it's sort of two things. It's easy to say, I want to make something that's more commercial. It's a lot harder to do that because we treat what's commercial as though it's a stationary target, but it's not. What's popular, what's commercial, however you want to phrase it, is constantly shifting. And yes, there are things that stay popular for a period of time, but then they will eventually recede. I mean, I remember years ago saying, hey, I think this zombie boom is about over, but it seems to keep going. And so the other thing that occurred to me too is that it's creators who are passionate about something that's not popular that wind up bringing that subject matter or whatever, or that art form or whatever it is, into the commercial zone and presenting it in such a way that it opens up the eyes of a you know, massive amount of people, and that's what sort of makes it commercial. You know, and I look at things that really interest me and how I got into the things that interest me. You know, I was always sort of mildly interested in genetics, but when the movie Jurassic Park came out, I got much more interested in it, and I started took a course in genetics. I did not have any illusions that I was going to go clone dinosaurs, but it sparked that interest, and it presented this sort of cerebral topic in a really entertaining and enlightening way that made it exciting to a lot of people. So that's kind of a lame example, but it's a true one.
Yeah, it's a true example.
But that's what sort of occurred to me was, well, this is how things become popular. Like the, you know, the Matrix was a good example. Nobody was asking for the Matrix to get made, but when the Matrix came out, it was like, holy crap, that was amazing. I hadn't thought about the, you know, this digital world and all this stuff. And nobody was saying we need action sequences that defy gravity. But then once they were there, we were like, defying gravity action sequences are the bomb. So, you know, it's that sorted thing that the Matrix was a gamble. You know, Star Wars was another gamble. Yeah, you know, we think of Star Wars as a perennial now, but Star Wars was a gamble. The largest hit, science fiction hit up to that point was 2001: A Space Odyssey, and 2001: A Space Odyssey, which I love, bears almost no resemblance to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And people were saying like, well, okay, 2001 was a hit, so we'll greenlight this science fiction thing. And then they're looking at it and going like, this isn't really anything like 2001, so is it going to be a hit like 2001? And it wasn't a hit like 2001. It was obviously much bigger, but that was a gamble, right? And now things that are like Star Wars are considered commercial, except that things that are like Star Wars are also RANs, to a large degree. So the point being that there is a point where what interests you, what you're passionate about, can become commercial. And it's part of the creative journey to figure out how to take that thing, how to recognize what it is that you love about, whether it's a topic. You know, I really like astronomy and physics and science. I'm passionate about those things. And I bring them and speculation and that sort of thing. And I bring those into my writing fairly often. And I hope that in these stories that I am telling, when those aspects are brought up or are seen, that I'm able to do that in an exciting sort of way that also sparks an interest or a curiosity about those things for other people. I'm not trying to change the world, but I like it when something I'm passionate about, somebody else gets passionate about. Like, that's a really cool thing. And so, you know, what I was really talking about is find a way to take what you're passionate about, to recognize what you're passionate about first, and then find a way in your story, in your graphic novel, to present that in an entertaining and commercial way. It's not the goal of art, but it's a goal of somebody that wants to do art for a living, right? Because ultimately the goal would be do art that I'm passionate about, but in such a way that it's commercial enough that I get to do art that I'm passionate about, right? You're going to get enough money for doing it, for doing the stuff you're passionate about. So the idea that it has to be a choice between I can either do the art I'm passionate about, or I can do something I'm not passionate about but is commercial, feels sort of defeatist to me. I don't know. I thought it really got me thinking a lot, and I don't know that I hit something super impactful on it, but maybe I did. I don't know. We're 130 episodes in, as you said, so I'm lost. No, I think it's important because I think a lot of people default to that position that I can either do what I'm passionate about and lose money, or I can do something that's more commercial, but I won't be that passionate about it. And then you already lost.
Well, I think that a lot of times I try to think about it too as Jurassic Park is a great example from having a very popular mainstream novel, you know, hardcover and paperback. I read Jurassic Park as a paperback, and I think I read it in about 2 days because it was such a page turner for me at the time of a thing that I really liked. And the idea that having something that is a quote mainstream success like a Star Wars or a Jurassic Park that can also be a passion project, you know, that's the two do mix. And sometimes, yeah, your idea is going to have a very small window of people that might want it, and that's cool if you execute it and do it and you did what you set out to do. That's great. A lot of comics, you could argue, you know, you're already kind of in a niche audience if your numbers aren't super high. Well, you're still reaching an audience, and maybe there's a trade, maybe there's a whatever, but the two are not mutually exclusive. And sometimes I try to think about it too, like pop music isn't of itself necessarily a bad thing. There are great pop songs that were created with every intent of being, you know, an artistic statement from someone. You know, it's where you get into the, wow, it sounds like these people are really phoning it in and cashing it. It's where you start to pull apart the seams and go, there's not passion here. There's not, you know, how do I make a big studio movie that people want to watch? You know, there's a difference in the hard hat approach of, hey, I'm giving you the plans and now make this, or the, hey, I'm working from the ground up with this concept and making it with somebody. You know, there's just so many different ways to approach stuff, and knowing why you're doing it and how you're doing it, I think has a big impact on that. But yeah, trying to say like, here's going to be my mega hit, that always seems like a recipe for disaster.
Well, most of the time when you are thinking, I'm going to make my mega hit, like if that's the impetus, usually you wind up chasing something that's popular already.
Right.
Maybe not always, but usually, you know, one of the creative people that I have just a ton of respect for, and I just love his work. We've already talked about 2001, but it's Stanley Kubrick. And you know, I've done a lot of research on his career and his life, as well as his films. But you know, I love that he would approach things. There's sort of this famous quote that Arthur C. Clarke said, is that when he met Stanley Kubrick and they were going to start talking about what would later become 2001, that Kubrick had read one of Clarke's shorter stories, and said he read it. He thought he might want to do some form of an adaptation, but ultimately it just sparked his interest. He wanted to make, quote, the proverbial good science fiction film, end quote. And that was the impetus that led to the two of them collaborating on something different, you know, something new, that became 2001, A Space Odyssey. And he would do that. Like, he would just go, I'm really interested in this thing. And for him, it might be the genre in that case. You know, what to him would make a good science fiction film? What to him makes a good horror film? And you get The Shining out of that. And one of the reasons why I like Stanley Kubrick so much is that he was able to make films in all these different genres, and every single one of them is counted in like the top five or the top 10 of films in those respective genres. You know, so I find that fascinating, and that he was able to stick to his vision while still working with others. I mean, he has a reputation, or had a reputation, I guess, for being sort of a control freak, but he stuck to his vision, and that's something that I think is to be respected. As long as you're not doing it while, you know, being mean to people, which I don't think he usually was, but I don't really know. I wasn't ever on set. Anyway, that's, you know, hopefully I kind of made my point, but when you go in thinking, I want to make money off this thing, you don't have anything, or you don't have anything yet. You just have a desire to make money, and it's hard to make a story out of that.
And that is one to grow on. No, it is. It's coming at it from a mercenary is probably the wrong word, but coming at it from the, how can I cash in on the, like you said, and maybe you said it the last episode, the zombie trend. How do I cash in on zombies? Zombies are hot. Not, here's my interesting take on something that interests me related to the metaphor that's associated with a zombie, or a way to be introspective about it. And, you know, if Company X drove up to you, a truck of money up to you and said, Andy, you're going to make us a zombie comic, I think if you spent time with it and figured out a take on it, you'd be comfortable saying, like, oh, I got a decent take on a zombie comic. It's not, you know, it's a different, there are different circumstances on how you approach, you know, what you do and how you execute it. But that's, I think we've covered that well with some good food for thought, and a good way to maybe close out, depending on when you're listening, 2016. And think about your 2017 when it comes to making comics.
Yeah, last episode we talked about time management, and we talked about making time to make comics, and I feel like this was kind of a good, you know, good next step is don't just make time to make comics, make time to make comics you're passionate about, and make that your 2017 New Year's resolution. I think that's super cool. So that said, you know, with every episode, please check out the website if you're interested in one of our intro courses. They are all starting up in February, and you can sign up now. And also the Creators Workshop is available. You can enroll in that in any time, and we'd love to have you. But Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Good luck making comics in 2017.